The U.S. government has mismanaged Native American lands for generations, and now it plans to spend $1.9 billion to try to make up for it. The money is going to be used to transfer 10 million acres of land from individual tribal members back to tribal nations by the year 2022. That's almost twice the size of Massachusetts. Gabriel Galanda is a Seattle lawyer and a member of the Round Valley Indian Tribes of Mendocino County, California, and he's here to explain the new program and some of the problems it's going to face. So, Gabe, this goes back to 1887. The U.S. government divided up tribal land and gave it to some individual tribal members. Why did it do that?
Yes, in 1887, Ross, Congress passed what was known as the Dawes Act, or also known as the General Allotment Act, believing that at that time the United States had a problem insofar as, pursuant to treaties and executive orders, tribal governments or communities communally held over 140 million acres of land. The stated purpose of the Dawes Act was to assimilate Indians out of those tribal communities and into mainstream American society. And the powers that be 125 years ago thought it best to basically allocate or apportion or allot land to individual Indians to basically make them like other Americans. The act also allowed the president to purchase land that he believed were quote-unquote in excess of what was needed for allotment and open it up to outright settlement or homestead by non-Indians. And by the 1930s, it's now proven that the Dawes Act caused 90 million acres of land to leave tribal hands. So to say now 125 years later that buyback under federal auspices has not worked very well historically for Native America is a bit of an understatement.
So now the goal here is to reverse that and buy back the land. Now, buy back the land from whom?
From the individual Indians who now several generations since 1887 own what are called undivided interests in land. At the outset, you correctly observed there are about 10 million allotted acres of land held in trust now for individual Indians. Those land exist on 150 reservations throughout America. It's believed that there are about 4 million individual Indians who collectively own those 10 million acres. Now, they were originally allotted to a Native American in the late 1800s, early 1900s. They then passed away, leaving equal shares to their heirs. Those heirs then passed away, leaving equal shares to their heirs, and so on and so forth for the last several generations. And what you now have is highly fractionated, what are called undivided interests in particular lands. And the lands aren't just, say, owned, you know, one-tenth at a time by an individual Indian, or even one one-hundredth at a time. Some parcels are owned one-millionth in terms of fractionated interest by individual Indians, which just exclaims how difficult things now are 125 years after the Dawes Act has passed and, in fact, failed.
Well, it seems like the goal here is to fix that mistake, which was made in the 19th century. But you've called this program a disaster in the making. Why do you think it's not going to work?
Well, keep in mind that during those 125 years, it was the Department of the Interior, the former War Department, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs that were then responsible for managing as trustee or fiduciary or guardian to ward the lands that were then allotted to individual Indians. And, of course, 90 million acres of those lands passed out of Indian ownership, which is an exclamation point on the United States' management of those lands. But what lands are still held in trust by the United States in the name of those Indians, 10 million acres, those were woefully, despicably mismanaged by the United States, which gave rise to the largest class action lawsuit in the United States' history, filed in 1996, which was the Cobell suit. Importantly, that suit in its settlement of 2009, passed by Congress, allocated $1.9 billion of the $3.6 billion settlement to quote-unquote buyback, to consolidation of these lands that were taken out of communal ownership from the 1880s to the 1930s and forward, mismanaged since, and consolidate them in a way that actually allows them to be used. The problem, however, is the very agency that caused the mismanagement is now being tasked to fix the problem that it caused for 120 years.
And you're doubtful that they could do it?
I'm highly doubtful they could do it, primarily because Interior is professing that this program is quote-unquote entirely voluntary, and that is a mistruth. Unless Interior is honest that this is actually designed to put tribal governments in a controlling majority level of ownership in those fractionated lands, such that the tribe could potentially then force the sale of those lands to any tribal member landowners who do not want to sell their lands, unless we get our head around that in an honest way, I think the program is set up to fail. In other words, it's a mistruth to suggest that this is entirely voluntary. There will be unwilling sellers for reasons that are tied to identity going back to the last 125 years of Indians in their land. They will not want to sell, and to suggest that it is voluntarily or will be completely carried out on a willing buyer and willing seller basis is a mistruth that sets up the program to fail.
Gabe, thanks for explaining to us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Gabe Galanda, Seattle lawyer, member of the Round Valley Indian Tribes of Mendocino County, California.